Support for the Media Project comes from the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a Master of Arts in Communications to advance careers in media, PR, and journalism. Fuller part-time options, 518-454-5143. And Rosenbaum Media Group, a digital communications agency integrating high-definition video into PR, marketing, advertising, and social media campaigns. Big-picture thinking for local and national clients. RosenbaumMedia.com. From Northeast Public Radio, this is The Media Project, a weekly discussion about issues confronting the media.
Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score. Killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They wallow in corruption, crime, and gore. Ting-a-ling-ling, city desk. Pull the press, extra, extra, read all about it. It's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press.
The Media Project is underway once again. We have an opportunity for commentary, analysis, and if we're lucky, a little bit of common sense about the media issues of the week. We have here the professor, the professor. Rosemary Armeo is back.
Yay, it's been a while.
Rosemary Armeo, a noted investigative journalist and professor at the University of Albany Journalism Program. Dr. Alan Shartok, CEO of Northeast Public Radio, Professor Emeritus, and I'm Rex Smith, editor of the Times Union in Albany.
Yeah.
Now, I want to know what Rosemary's been up to.
Yeah, you haven't been around for weeks. You've been globetrotting.
Well, I had a vacation. That was fun. I went to Argentina and saw glaciers and penguins. Mm-hmm. And then, in a little change of pace, got into a plane and flew for 48 hours to Tunisia because the University at Albany Journalism Program has this great grant with a journalism school in Tunisia. We are helping them develop a curriculum to teach investigative reporting. And this is in a place where there has been no free press for 25 years under the old dictator.
It's where the whole revolution started.
2 years ago. Yes. Yeah, the Arab Spring started 2 years ago in Tunisia. And it's my first time back since just before the revolution ended. It was disquieting, I must say. I've been to Egypt, too, so you see the same thing. The revolution was not the big success that many young people hoped it would be. It has not brought democracy. It's brought a big fight with extremist Islamists.
But has it brought a freer press?
It has brought a kind of wild press. They are very determined to get more news out there, but they're under trouble. In the month of December, something like 13 journalists had been jailed. Or arrested. Some of them are for their past affiliations with the old administration, and some are just writing things that the current office holders don't like. They are now undergoing Sheraton Gate, as they call it. I like how Watergate has colored the name of scandals around the world. But Sheraton Gate was the foreign minister was caught keeping a room in the Sheraton, the big fancy hotel right across from the Department of the Internal Affairs. And in fact, there was a woman in the room as well.
Shocking.
He alleges it was his cousin.
I don't know
if that makes it better, but the story was much promoted by a blogger who got copies of the bills from the Sheraton with his name on it and printed them. She published them. And she's now been accused of printing. They have criminal libel there if you print things that are injurious.
So you have your work cut out for you to try to teach them how to do investigative reporting.
Issues are the same. The issues are the same wherever you are.
Well, they're not the same as in the United States, are they?
Well, the reaction would be different. But
you don't go to jail for the rest of your life.
We have eliminated criminal libel. Yes, that's true.
Although Dr. Shartok thinks it would be a good thing to reinstate it.
Some people do.
Well, in some cases, yes.
Lock them up. And is the journalism there moving to digital as well? I mean, are these people working on digital platforms?
All the things they're interested in, Rex, you would recognize mapping, GIS software. They want all computer-assisted data journalism, I guess we call it now.
Well, who were you talking to over there? Were you talking to the professors who were
The State Department
was paying for this, right?
Our State Department has given us a grant to develop this, yes.
Yeah, excellent. Well, that's a good investment of foreign aid to develop
a free
press.
Much better than for bullets, yes. Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Let's do more of it. Media development, yay.
By the way, you mentioned data journalism. There's, of course, the raging controversy in this state about data journalism, mm-hmm. and that ties in with the current controversy over gun control. In the aftermath of the Newtown shootings, of course, as we all know, the New York State Legislature has passed new restrictions on weapons and new gun control in the state. But as a part of that, the law restricts public access to gun license records.
Terrible. Terrible development, and one that I sort of foresaw when the Journal ran, as I know you've discussed that in past weeks, the Journal ran a list of...
Journal News,
yes, in Westchester ran a list of licensed gun holders, and people just saw that as an incredible invasion of privacy. I don't understand why. And this was that was the excuse, I think, to come down on closing public records, which is never a good thing. Never, never.
So you really wonder why a man like Andrew Cuomo decided to give this one to the Republicans, which is, I think, what happened.
It's part of the deal. This bill
gave them some cover. But the question is, you know, what's Cuomo's attitude towards freedom of the press? Does he really understand it himself? You know, there I go again.
It is interesting, by the way, in that regard, that a few days before this passed, Shelley Silver, the Speaker of the State Assembly in New York, basically dismissed the idea of further restrictions on the Freedom of Information Law in this regard and said, no, we're not going to do that. And then as part of the package, the Assembly ended up passing it.
Well, very pregnantly, I think that Silver said yesterday, I believe, we can take care of some of these matters. I'll put the word onerous matters in what's called chapter amendments, meaning we can tighten this whole thing up a bit.
That's my wonder and concern. Will we go back now and say, no, this is not a good idea. Let's put this back in the public domain.
Well, even worse than that, not that it's absolutely tied to media. But the other real stinker in that bill was the idea that you would tell a psychiatrist that they had to go tell the police about what somebody said, you know, in a therapeutic session. This has got people really crazy. And this is one of the things, I'll just tie it up to the media if you don't mind, that the media really has to explain to people, because otherwise they won't understand why this is so important.
Well, I think the media also has to understand why it is a good idea to have gun license records public.
Sure.
And we took a lot of criticism. I know you guys have discussed it. I won't go back over it, but... I mean, I don't want people to know how many bathrooms I have in my house and how much I paid for it, but I live in a public society, and therefore records about home ownership are public, and for the same reason, gun license records are public. It's the price to live in a free society.
Well, also,
it's
just not a matter of principle. It's also that if I'm living in a house and my little five-year-old wants to go next door to play, and somebody's got a gun on the loose in the house, I want to know that before I allow them to go there.
That said, I think it's absolutely true that they should be public. And there is going to be an effort that, in fact, the New York Publishers Association is spearheading to try to bring this chapter amendment forward. But I don't know that keeping those records public necessarily means that it's a wise thing for newspapers to publish them. We have a lot of information that we get all the time that we don't publish. In fact, we've had a controversy about this before because we don't publish the names of rape victims. Rosemary thinks that we ought to. But we sit on things. And Bill Keller, the former editor of the New York Times, wrote a really interesting column, I think, in which he put forth some provocative what ifs. You know, what if you're the editor of a local newspaper and a reporter on your staff comes to you with, for example, addresses of homes where pit bulls are kept or the names of husbands accused of infidelity?
I want to know where the pit bulls are. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with pit bulls.
I know Sarah Hinman is my good friend and champion of pit bulls, but I'm afraid of them. I'd like to know where they are.
What do you think about donors to groups that promote LGBT rights?
No, that's
different. Here we go. That's different. I see.
No. There's a problem.
No, but I do think there's a rationale, a really good rationale, other than the press at all costs must be protected idea, but there's a really good rationale for knowing where these guns are, which is very different from other things.
But, Alan, it's limited. You only know where handguns are because those are the only things that have had to be registered in New York State. So you don't have any idea where long guns are. You don't know who might be in your neighborhood having rifles or shotguns.
So as soon as those are kept in public records, I want those too. You don't say, oh, we can't get all the records, so we don't want any of them. That's just kind of
And now that my lawyer has answered for me,
I've been away. I'm trying to get my time back.
Yeah, you'll get it. I will say that she's exactly right. I mean, at least we'll know where the revolvers are. So then the handguns are. And so then, on will come the next stage. But you don't throw the baby out with the dirty water. Do you, Rex?
books?
No, I think this ought to be public information. I'm just curious to know what you would publish and what you wouldn't. What do you think about looking at using mapping software on your newspaper website to reveal the names and addresses of food stamp recipients in your community so that we can see where food stamps are distributed?
Yeah, yes. Rosemary, what do you think of that?
I the donors to LGBT, I put it all on. Journalism has
slippery
changed
slope.
Since the early 90s when computer-assisted or data journalism first emerged, and journalists thought, this is it. You know, we now can give people all the data, all the stuff that's been in government file cabinets that we couldn't get at, we now can broker and give to the public for them. And there's been a real pullback. Oh, we can't give them it. People can't take it. And people themselves, readers themselves, have helped with this. They don't like to see the names of the most stupid idea I've heard recently is that we don't put the names of people who commit mass murders, the Columbine killers in the Newtown.
Oh.
We don't, because that glorifies them somehow, so we shouldn't use their names.
This is not actually journalism, is it? If we
no.
stop.
But no, and I'm not sure that, you know, this data isn't either. I think the data should be available to everybody.
But don't you think that newspapers have to be sensitive to what people expect from them? If you put, you know, lesbians and gays and transgenders into the paper, lists of those things.
Donors. Those are sympathizers. So people who give money to their causes. That's a different thing. Perhaps it would show great support.
If I could just finish, Rosemary, for a moment.
Oh, sorry. Running all over you again.
No.
I was just trying to help him make his point, too.
Yeah. Thanks. I need all the help I can get. But don't you think that the readers of the paper, the people who take these papers and are critical about them, would let the leadership of that paper know they didn't like it? Now, that's happened also with the gun people. But, you know.
We've had that a lot. We published online a complete list of property tax rates in New York State and the individual property by property amounts of what people are paying. People are upset about it. We publish every week a list of property transfers, who's bought a home in our community and what they paid for it.
People
don't like that.
I like that.
But I think
there's
a difference between having information and using it. I think you have to make a judgment. You know, there are all kinds of data out there. There's publicity, public relations, propaganda, raw data, and there is journalism. And I don't know that raw data is necessarily journalism. I think that our role is somewhat interpretive. It needs to be done in context.
Yes. But do you publish the names of, consider that, condescending, dripping with condescension. But do you publish the names of tax deadbeats?
Tax deadbeats. We do publish bankruptcy filings.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying every year the town knows who didn't pay their tax bills. Do you publish those? I know a newspaper that does.
We do not. That's an interesting thing. I mean, there's that data is available, and I think it should be available. But, you know, you make judgments. We don't publish the name of every person arrested in our community because we have made a determination that some of it is newsworthy and some of it is not.
But don't you think if you did tax deadbeats that it would be of great interest to people in the community?
Is that the only standard?
No.
What's of interest?
No,
I mean, that's a real question.
It would be of value, too. If they thought their name was going to be in the paper, maybe they would pay their bills, and that's good. So I don't see a problem with printing that.
Thanks, lawyer.
But what about somebody who has fallen upon financial hard times and can't pay their taxes?
Well, then that's a bigger story we do. There's more people on the tax roll, and that's why. And that's another story we do.
That's good.
Data leads to stories.
Good.
And you suppress data, and you suppress the stories, too. So I think this whole, it's a lovely idea, and it sounds really great rolling off of your tongue, Rex, that journalism is value added.
I think it's smarmy myself.
Yeah, we take the data and we really help the readers to understand it. But I think the readers get a lot out of it. This is where crowdsourcing comes from. And even the protests that the News Journal got led to a really interesting discussion about what we want to know about people and what the right to own a gun really means. It was meaningful.
Here's what Bill Keller concluded. He said, but when you are going to make a sizable population of law-abiding citizens, which these gun owners are, feel violated, you have to ask yourself, what is the offsetting gain? In this case, he says, I think, not much. The information the Journal News provided its readers is so far from complete as to be misleading. And that's actually the conclusion I came to also, with all due respect, and I really, you know, appreciate the fact. And of course, again, let me not be misinterpreted. I think that the legislature did the wrong thing by restricting access to this information. It ought to be public. I just don't know. Well, I will tell you this. I would not have made the same decision to put that database up without any significant commentary and journalism surrounding it.
Well, you know, here's another thing, that if you just name someone in a paper, how does that expose them or make them sound bad? They own a gun and they are allowed to do so by law. That's all that record indicates. It doesn't indicate that they're anything other than law-abiding. Have this idea that if we talk to someone, if we name them, it glorifies them or makes them look bad. It doesn't do either.
I'm going to send $25 to the Journal News.
Well, I think it would be a great thing because, you know, they are under attack unjustly.
I want to send them $25.
Yeah.
I hope everybody else will, too.
I mean, the thing is, but the thing
people are canceling their subscriptions.
Absolutely.
That's crazy.
And terrible stuff is happening to the journalists.
Is that
there.
What you're worried about if you were to do it?
No, I mean, I'm seriously, well, I would rather people not cancel their subscriptions.
No, but is that what you're worried about when you've made this half-hearted attempt at saying, well, I wouldn't have done it that way.
What Bill Keller and I said? Do you think we're just chickens?
Well, no.
In Florida once, we had a list of teachers that were going to be laid off. It was for economic reasons, not, you know, disciplinary or anything like that. And I wanted to print them. And, oh, my God, we had a big discussion about this would expose them to. And I said, expose them to what? They were laid off. Teachers laid off. There'll be great sympathy for them. And teachers groups are saying, please don't print this. Please don't print. We printed it all. We printed their names. And those people got an outpouring of outrage from their fellow citizens that this had happened to them and sympathy and support. So, again, I go back to the idea that publicity is not a bad thing. I don't know where I don't know where the idea came from.
I think you just have to make judgments about what is useful use of your limited resources and what isn't. And it seems to me that this didn't spur a healthy debate. In fact, it's only escalated a shouting match, and it has led to bad legislation. So I think that there is some questionable, if you're thinking about making value judgments in publication decisions, which we do all the time, every day, it seems to me that, you know, the value of this one was not what people thought it would be.
What bad legislation?
The legislation we're talking about. Shut down public access.
And, you know, that's blackmail. What's the use of having public records if you don't use them?
Senator Greg Ball down there shooting off his mouth, a volatile fellow. And I think that Cuomo gave in to those folks, and I don't know why. I really don't know why.
Well,
the gun lobby has rallied against publicity of this database for years, and they've said, oh, if you publish it, this will be like a target because you have valuable guns.
Sure.
People, which is silly. If you have guns, wouldn't the burglars stay away? But anyway, that was one. Well, and the other one was, if you publish this, we'll, you know, rouse up our people and we'll shut down. We'll go to the legislature and get bills. But that's exactly what they did.
My favorite is that it's the old Archie Bunker story that they're afraid that people will come and steal their guns.
Yeah.
In other words, they have the guns for protection. Now they're afraid people will come and steal their guns.
So don't print my name in the newspaper. Yeah.
If you'd like to be part of the conversation, media@wamc.org. Media@wamc.org is the email address. And we are Alan Shartok, Rosemary Romeo, and Rex Smith, the media project here from Northeast Public Radio. Can't guarantee that we will read your comments on the air. We might just swipe them and take them as our own. But in any case, that would be wrong.
That would be so wrong.
By the way, the Toronto Star just bought plagiarism detection software.
I think it's great. And we professors need it, too.
It's called Authenticate is what they bought. I checked it out online. It's very cool. They run anything that you write or your students write or your reporters write against a database of 1 billion pieces of writing. It's amazing.
Wow.
And it finds matches.
I mean, some of it could be just coincidental, but I mean, we have not had a plagiarism problem in our newsroom. I've never had to go through that. Apparently,
that you know about.
Well, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe it has happened, and we just haven't been made aware of it.
But this is great because I can tell you, as a professor of many years, that I could always tell. I mean, I could say this is not really, but then, you know, you could spend more time than running a PhD in a library trying to track it down.
I find there's great confusion on the part of students on what is plagiarism and what is simply allowable, you know, referencing
quotation
from other works.
Sure.
There's great confusion about that.
Hmm.
We don't make it easier in the news business. We rewrite each other.
Absolutely.
Now, what is it called when you pick up from another news source and you just use it?
Well, there is that. Well, it's aggregating.
That's the word.
Always say when you actually quote something in music, you know, when you pick up a phrase of music from some other composer, it's an homage. And this is meant to be a good thing, you know, when you're actually swiping a tune. But we can't claim that, I guess, when we're just picking up a little phrase from somebody else. You know, finding truth. Journalism is supposedly the presentation of truth, you know, to seek the truth and report it forward is the first line. What about this supposed untruth? What about the responsibility of journalism with respect to Manti Te'o of Notre Dame, this fabulous running back who now it turns out that this girlfriend, whom he has supposedly been so devoted to for 3 years, and supposedly died, and this has been all over the press, never existed.
Well, never existed, and he claims he never met her after 3 years.
That's a very interesting relationship with a girlfriend, isn't it?
How does he know? How do we know? He never met her. He never met her.
He got involved, he says, with a woman over the internet. And so they existed on phones, cell phones, and the internet. Not even Skype. I mean, I guess in Skype there'd have to be a face there.
Okay, but here's what. Who cares?
Oh, it's just so interesting, Alan. Why does everything have to be so serious? Didn't you just say that?
No, you know, you just report the truth. It's all a matter of perspective. It's all a matter of how you weight, W-E-I-G-H-T.
Oh, how you weight.
How you weight things. And thanks. And what it really means is that we Americans get dumber and dumber and dumber, and we throw some piece of crap like this at them, and every new morning news show spends all its time on this. Meantime, Americans have been kidnapped abroad, and we have all of these problems, and we have
big brains. We can handle both problems in Algeria and Manti Te'o. We can do them both.
And yeah, well, and here's Rex talking about, you know, having to, you know, give truth. This isn't truth. This is garbage.
What was the responsibility of the media who purported to report?
Get nervous.
What was going on here? Did nobody think to check out this alleged girlfriend?
They certainly are getting the blame now, but I have to wonder if I were the reporter and I'm talking to this, you know, very earnest young man, a great athlete, and he's talking about how sad he is, his girlfriend has died, and he's dedicating the game to her and to his dead grandmother. Would I go back and say, was there really a girlfriend? I'm not sure I would have that question in my head.
No.
Okay.
I don't have that question or any other question. I just think this is...
You would say it's not important. I don't care.
Alan doesn't want to have ice cream in his diet. He only wants a steady diet of broccoli. This is the news question that journalists always have. We always have this conversation that there has to be a certain amount of, even though we know broccoli is good for us, people like ice cream, so the front page includes some broccoli and some ice cream. This is the ice cream. It's not such a terrible thing. As Rosemary said, we got big brains.
But what about when you have single source news programs, Morning Joe, stuff like that, on the air, and that's what they're talking about? In other words, you don't have a chance, you don't have a broadsheet in which you're able to say this, 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 or this. But in this case, that's the diet. It's all ice cream, and it's wrong.
Well, you're right, and that is a limitation.
And that's why we're an obese society.
We are, in terms of our information diet, we are. Actually, who wrote that terrific book? I'm going to have to go find it, that likened our information diet to our food diet and made a great analogy, wrote a whole book based on that analogy. I'm going to have to find that. It's really strong.
Now, Rex, what was that? What is that author? What is it that we have to think about?
Ice cream and spinach.
What is the job of the press
from the code of ethics of the Society of Professional Journalists? The first thing is there are four major tenets. The first one is seek the truth and report it fully. And the biggest problems of journalism tend to come from that second part: report it fully. That's actually, I could tie that back into the database.
Would be full.
Report it fully. Usually, our problems come from failing to make the extra phone call, failing to give the extra dimension, going into the nuance of a story, and instead just giving black and white, because that's what drives stark storytelling, when actually we lead our lives in those shades of gray.
Very, very well said, except for one thing. Would somebody just bring me the base, and I'm going to throw up. I mean, you know, this is not something that we do all that well. So that's the model, though, and I admire you for sticking to it.
Thank you. Actually, it's what drives many of us into doing journalism, as opposed to doing,
the paycheck.
With all due respect, some other lines of work.
We do tend to take ourselves too seriously, though, with that as our noble goal. And sometimes journalism is just good storytelling. And Manti Te'o is a good story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mandy Patinkin is great.
Okay, that's a matter of debate, too. It's a little over.
Oh, I think it's wonderful.
If you reach the end of the program, we would have to invite you to come back. And we promise that we will have another conversation a week from now, and we'll get back into more enlightening topics. We'll talk more about Dr. Shartok's diet, for example, as long as we're on important things that people really need to know about.
And 10 pounds up and going to the stratosphere.
Yep, there you go.
You're 10 pounds up
and
not eating any ice cream? Well, hell, I'm going to go have a bowl right now.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week on The Media Project.
Now newspapermen are such interesting people. They used to work like hell just for romance. But finally, the movies notwithstanding, they all got tired of patches on their pants.
They organized a union to get a living wage. They joined with other actors upon a living stage. Now newspapermen are such interesting people. When they know they've got a people's fight to wage. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, newspaper guild. Got a free new world to build. Meet the people, that's a thrill. All together fits the bill. Oh, newspapermen are such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the guild. Now, publishers are such interesting people. Their policy is an acrobatic thing.